The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano.
Working for it all, but it's money, money. It's money, money. It's money, money.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Dave Spano, as he does each and every Monday, joins us on the phone. Dave, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Let's see. I want to dive into the markets on Friday. It seems that the tolerance for trouble from an investor side isn't limitless in the markets. How are we best to interpret the current market and Friday's numbers specifically?
Yeah, I hope we get some bad sound here, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Let me call you right back.
Okay.
On the hotline.
All right. Dave's going to call us right back. Actually, we have a couple questions for Dave from the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. It is 855-616-1620, and we'll pose those to Dave when he gets back on the line. We're going to look at the stock market from Friday. We had reports on U.S. consumer sentiment. We had reports on housing and services that sent the S&P 500 to its biggest loss of the year on Friday. Dave is back with us on the phone. Dave?
Yeah, that's better, isn't it?
Much better. Sounding better, for sure. So we were just about to dive into the markets on Friday. I wanted to get your take. And I've had a bunch of questions on how we best interpret the bond market. Also, do bonds always rally when stocks fall?
Yeah, you know, it's supposed to be set up that, you know, it's supposed to move in opposite directions. But there's a lot of things that are happening right now. First of all, we saw consumer confidence that was really, you know, less than what we expected. You know, Walmart's guidance was down. And of course, all of that led to the bond market actually moving in the opposite direction. The reason why, in the background, we have a bunch of money, we're calling it a bazooka, coming into the markets right now. And that's the federal government putting treasuries out there. So, you know, as that happens, we're seeing two things happen at the same time. So money coming in is pushing bond yields down. And also, we're seeing the stock market trying to reallocate because of the information we saw. And if you know, just go through it, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that it did not like late in the week. And of course, it's not just the consumer confidence. We saw, of course, geopolitical issues. We saw the election in Germany. So it's trying to take in a lot of new information.
Yeah, and how do we? I mean, it still seems like, I mean, the stories I'm reading, seems like CEOs and business leaders are still pretty optimistic about the economy, tax cuts, deregulation, but consumers are getting more and more stressed. How do you balance that, and how does it work in the modern economy when you have the, like, two factions that are saying completely different things?
Yeah, well, and I think to listen to it, you have to say, you know, let's look at it from a different angle. So why are CEOs positive? And that is because, you know, they're seeing a number of things that they do like. And, of course, as you pointed out here, you know, deregulation, perhaps lower taxes, all of these things are positive to a corporation. In fact, J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon said the other day that, you know, some of these, you know, regulations are just, you know, they're on top of each other. So you think about all of these things happening together, but now you look at the retail investor and they see, you know, egg prices up, and they see that mortgage rates still are going up. In fact, I took a group out Sunday breakfast yesterday, mm-hmm. and it was $25 a person. It was just outrageous, right?
Yeah.
And you think I would have ordered, you know, lobster for breakfast, but it was eggs and bacon, you know, for the most of the people. And so prices are up. There's no question about that. And the consumer is feeling that. Mortgage rates were supposed to come down. Inflation rate were supposed to come down, and we're not seeing that. But corporations sitting around a boardroom, they are seeing some positive aspects of what could happen down the road. So they're looking down the road, probably Q2, Q3, maybe even into 2026, where the consumer goes and they measure that by gas prices, mortgage rates, and what they're paying at the retail stores.
All right. And you had briefly mentioned global economic concern. So I want to talk when we come back about U.S. versus Canada. And if you're willing, Dave, we got a question for you from the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line around negative impacts on consumer spending for highly paid federal employees and contractors. If they're going to take the buyout, how could that affect spending on a regional and city level? When we come back, more with Dave Spano from Annex Wealth Management. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined on the phone by Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. So, Dave, any investor consumer concerns regarding economic rifts between U.S. and Canada that you foresee?
Well, are we going to have a fight like we did in that first
I know. USA it's been Canada? Good for sports and ratings for hockey. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, that second game was a heck of a game. Unfortunately, Canada did play better at the last couple of minutes. But yeah, of course, you know, this riff might be more appearance than it is reality. Of course, you know, Trump is so far negotiating, and we'll see really what comes from that. And personalities matter. You know, Trump does not like Trudeau, and Trudeau does not like Trump, but yeah. Trudeau's on his way out, right? And he wasn't very popular in Canada anyway. So right now we could see an election. In fact, we expect to see an election later in this year in Canada, and betting markets have the conservative winning. And, you know, Trudeau was part of the Liberal Party, similar to what we saw in Germany. You know, Germany had a two-year recession. They had, you know, all of these asylum seekers coming into Germany, and the conservatives won there. And so we'll see if there's a change in government and a change in policy in Canada, and if that does change the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So at this point, it could just be, again, negotiating right now. And it looks like, you know, they were the tariffs were kicked down the road as long as, you know, we tried to stop the inflow of drugs into the U.S. from the Canadian border. So we'll see how this really comes about. But I would say until we actually see the tariffs get into place, I think we just watch the negotiations from afar.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mentioned it right before the break. We had a text come in from the 262 for Dave Spano. Might there be negative impacts on consumer spending if too many relatively highly paid federal employees and contractors get let go in a given city or region? Is this something we need to worry about from a macro level? You know, as you look at, hey, how can we cut money? How can we save expenses? Jobs might be lost, and is there an impact on local economies?
Yeah, I think if you're a Washington, D.C. retailer, a restaurateur, perhaps, you know, some real estate, I think, yeah, they could get affected, right? But if you think about it in the big picture, I think federal workers are pulling this out of my hat, but I'm pretty sure it's between 1% and 2% of all of the non-farm payroll. So it is a smaller number. But, of course, yeah, if you start losing those jobs, and if you lost them all, which is not the intention, right?
Right.
Of course, that have a dramatic effect. But if some of this is downsizing and finding waste and, you know, people that weren't coming to work, and if it slices it by 20%, will it have an effect? Yeah, but will it have a dramatic effect? Not as much. And, of course, a lot of federal workers are highly educated people, and so maybe they have some skills that can be applied in the private market. So, once again, we'll see if the actual layoffs happen, you know, where people end up, how long of time do they have, and do they find somewhere else to go. But in a macro sense, yes, of course, displacing people does have an effect on economics.
All right. Well, let's turn to the economic implications of our favorite mall. We saw over the weekend that Destination Sporting Goods retailer Scheels is coming to Mayfair in Wauwatosa, not too far from where I grew up, beautiful tree-lined Wauwatosa. It can be a 200,000 square foot store expected to open in 2027. It really seems like, I don't know, we go through these waves with malls, Dave, that, oh, they're either amazing destinations or they're dying. What is your take now on the future of the mall from a development and spending standpoint?
Well, first of all, give a lot of credit to the city of Wauwatosa, Mayor McBride. I mean, that was really a nice move. You know, remember they bought that piece of property from Boston Store, right? And so they purchased, and now this is going to go into this deal of Scheels. And for those of you who don't know, Scheels is a really big sporting goods that does everything from hunting apparel, right, all the way to golf clubs. And so I think it's going to be one of those things. But you think about other malls, talk about Brookfield Square, you talk about other places, they repurpose themselves. You can see what's happening at Brookfield Square. You see Ergens is doing some development there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of restaurants that are going around the outside of it. And I do think that's what you're going to see at Mayfair. Of course, we know not only Scheels, which is 200,000 square feet, but there's still 900 apartment units coming to that space as well. So I think you take a nice piece of property on an amazing corner, Highway 100 and North Avenue, and repurpose it. And I do think the city of Wauwatosa deserves credit for getting this deal done. So I'm excited about it as well, because if you've seen my golf game, I probably need new clubs anyways, because maybe anything will help.
Yeah, and these places really become destinations above and beyond. Sure. Ooh, I just need to get golf clubs. They're places to hang out and spend time, and then you're going to take time to look at the other developments and the other stores. And many of the malls now are doing more flexible leasing programs, more pop-ups, and more short-term leases. So you're really creating experiences, and that's what the consumer wants.
Yeah, community hubs. Exactly right.
Indeed. All right, Dave, always appreciate your time on Mondays. We'll do it again next Monday. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. See ya.